Good morning, he is risen. Some people have argued that today is the most comforting day of the entire church year. That is Good Shepherd Sunday, where Jesus uses a picture we can get to help us understand our need and how he perfectly meets all of our needs with the good news that he lives for us today, to shepherd us today and forever in heaven. May God bless us as we worship along those lines in that theme today. The order of worship is printed for you completely in the worship booklet for this morning. And just a note about our opening hymn, there will be a brief interlude in between the verses or the stanzas of each of the hymns, just so that doesn't catch you off guard, and so we can worship confidently. We do so with our opening hymn, hymn 141. Let us worship the Lord.
Save me, O God. O Lord, have mercy to grant me. Psalm of the Day is Psalm 23 on page 4. Each time the refrain is sung by the cantor, by the soloist, we will repeat the refrain following the directions in the service booklet. Please be seated for Psalm 23.
Thank you.
First lesson for this morning is recorded in Acts chapter 20. Here we see where pastors, where shepherds come from. Pastors, shepherds, and other leaders in the church are gifts from God. They're gifts of His grace. And it is that same grace that equips and enables men of God to serve you with the gospel. Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 5. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon this morning. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand to show respect for the words and works of Jesus in the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. This lesson helps answer the question, how can Jesus shepherd us if He's in heaven? Aside from knowing that Jesus said, I am with you always and He is present everywhere, Jesus promises to shepherd us through those He sends to us to be shepherds on His behalf. Here, Jesus shares with us this beautiful picture to help us understand how He meets our needs daily through His word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. This morning it is hymn 375.
Greetings again to all of you. In the name of the Good Shepherd, who loves you and lay down his life for you. I don't know a whole lot about shepherding and sheep. And to say that I know much about shepherding and sheep is a pure exaggeration of my knowledge of sheep and shepherding. And if there's one thing that I know less about than sheep, it is shepherds. Because I just don't spend a whole lot of time with shepherds. I don't know them. I don't know what their work is all about or what it all entails. I tried looking up some information on sheep, and I went to a website that led me to the Mountain Area West and Western U.S. Sheep District Report. And I learned that compared to last week, trading is up. However, year to date, trading is down. Only about 6,600 a month are being traded. I know that inventory is high and demand is low. And I know that although harvesting is up in recent days, year to date, the harvesting of sheep and lambs is down. And I still know nothing about sheep and shepherding, other than if harvesting is down, probably good news for the sheep. That's the extent of my knowledge of sheep and shepherding. The only firsthand knowledge I have outside of a petting zoo situation was a rancher, a member of my former church in South Dakota. Very nice man, very nice family. I confirmed two of his children. And one spring, he invited me and my family out to the ranch. He said, "It's an exciting time of year, Pastor. We're lambing. Your kids will love it." And so we went out there, and it was a nice experience, except for the part that to get into the barn, you had to sidestep this little pile of expired sheep. Because apparently, as exciting as a time as this is, it doesn't always go as planned. And this was not an unkind shepherd, this was not an uncaring man, and this was not some great pile of dead sheep. But it was business for him. It's just what you do. These sheep are there to serve you. They are a means to your end, and your end is making money. They are there to be fleeced. And if they stop producing or if they expire, you just toss them aside and you go on with your work, and that's it. And that's life. I don't know much about shepherding and sheep in Jesus' day either. But as far as shepherd goes, shepherds are the shepherds and sheep are the sheep. The sheep are there to make some money for the shepherd. And in the end, these sheep are either going to get sick or they're going to die or they're going to get butchered, they're going to get slaughtered, whatever it is. Sheep are sheep and shepherds are shepherds. That doesn't quite sound the way that Jesus talks about himself and his sheep. In fact, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? Shepherds are to fleece the sheep, to make money, to profit off the sheep, and then the sheep are gone. Then they're done. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep." And I suppose maybe there's a legendary shepherd or two, maybe living in the hills around Bethlehem, wherever, and maybe they did give up their life for their sheep, and they're noble, they're legendary. But where'd they go, and what happened to their sheep? After they died, somebody else either took possession of them, or maybe they wandered off and they died, or they starved, or they got sick, or who knows what ate them. If their shepherd died for them, the shepherd died for them, and that's that. Also different from Jesus, our good shepherd, too. Jesus said in the gospel for today, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life for the sheep, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." Jesus, the good shepherd, loves and cares for, provides for the sheep, and he died for the sheep. Only to take his life up again for the sheep. And he continues to shepherd his sheep today.
And that takes us back to that honest question. How does Jesus, the Good Shepherd, shepherd his sheep if he's up in heaven, physically ascended into heaven? And yes, we know that promise. I'm with you always. Jesus is everywhere. In catechism, you learn the omni words. He's omnipresent. You understand that. But how does the Good Shepherd shepherd his flock today? He does that through his shepherds. And today we call them pastors. Acts 20, Paul said, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which is bought with his own blood." These shepherds were sent by God, by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, to shepherd the flock, to take care of the flock. And so whose sheep are these? These are God's sheep. These are the Good Shepherd sheep. And he bought them with his own blood when he died for them on the cross. And then he raised himself up again from the dead to prove to these sheep that they have a shepherd forever. And that one day they too are going to rise from the dead and go to be with him forever in heaven. Isn't Jesus the one who instructed Peter too? Isn't Jesus the one who made Peter a shepherd over the flock? I think it's pretty important for us to remember that, yes, Jesus did that for Peter, because it'd be really easy for us to pass judgment on Peter and say, well, who is Peter to be talking to anyone, any of us, any pastor, about what it means to shepherd the flock when he's the one who abandoned Jesus, the Good Shepherd, when things got rough? He's the one who denied Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest, jumping up and down, yelling, screaming, cursing himself. I don't even know the guy. This is the hot-headed one, the one who took out his sword to try and kill everybody to stop Jesus for dying for your sins. He was confused and he got it wrong, and he's the one who is supposed to be instructing the shepherds and telling other shepherds how to shepherd God's people. Is he really the best one to be telling the elders among you, "I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care"? Or maybe that makes him the perfect guy for the job. Peter was well aware of his failures. Peter was well aware of the fact that he denied God. He failed Jesus miserably. But isn't that our bond with Peter? Don't we know what that's like too? When we deny Jesus by what we do? When we deny Jesus by failing to stand up for him and for his morals and for what his word teaches? Aren't we the ones who deny Jesus when Jesus very clearly says, "Don't do these things," and we do them and we enjoy them? Who's denying Jesus then? Who's doubting Jesus then? I think that's the bond that we have with Peter. Peter knew how he was forgiven. He knew that Jesus laid down his life for him. Peter knew the love and forgiveness and comfort of Jesus coming to him and saying, "Peter, I still love you. I rose again for you. And I want you to go and shepherd my sheep." Maybe that's what makes Peter the best example for us. Because if we are honest with ourselves, we know that when we deny Jesus, when we are sheep that wander, we realize that we have no business being part of God's flock. We have no business being among the people who are going to go to heaven, because our sin, our denial of Jesus, should separate us from his flock forever. And we should end up in hell with Peter forever. And you kind of wish that I'd stick to the point today. Because do you hear any of this in Peter's words to the elders of the churches? Let me make the connection for you. I'll read it again. Peter said, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Where did these shepherds come from? Where do your pastors come from? St. Paul told us earlier, they come from God. They are gifts to you to oversee you and to guide you. By whose authority do they come to you and they talk to you?
Well, by God's authority, they come to you and they talk to you. And with whose words do they feed you? They feed you with God's word. They feed you with God's authority and with his power. And when they fail to shepherd you perfectly, when they fail to live up to these standards, when they fail to guide you and to support you, against whom are they sinning? They're not sinning against you. We're not sinning against Peter. We're sinning against God when we are not the perfect shepherds that he expects us to be. These are shepherds that are gifts to you from God. And so God expects that you listen to them as they teach you and instruct you. These are shepherds from God, so he expects that you love them when they shepherd you and they guide you, when they discipline you, when they instruct you. Because when you listen to them, you're not listening to them, you're listening to Jesus who sent them. And when you love them, you're not only loving them, but you are also loving the Savior that sent them. Listen to them and love them, because when Paul says, don't do this because you must, do you think a shepherd ever struggles with that? Why am I doing this chore? Why am I doing this job? Peter says to them, don't be greedy. Instead, be eager to serve. And you think shepherds ever struggle with that? Why am I doing this miserable job? I could be doing so many other things and making so much more money and having so much more fun and so many more experiences in life. Instead, I'm stuck being a miserable shepherd of God's sheep. You think we never struggle with that? When St. Paul says, with this authority, don't lord it over those entrusted to you, instead being examples to the flock. Do you think we don't know what it's like when we either neglect or abuse that authority from God? We're sinful, weak shepherds, just like Peter was. We know what it's like to fail God. But we also know what it's like to experience God's love and forgiveness, because the Good Shepherd laid down his life for our sins too, just as he did for your sins and your failures. So how have you been doing at listening to and loving the shepherds that Jesus uses to shepherd you? How are you doing at listening to them and loving them when God tells them to be overseers? Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Are you listening to them and loving them? Are you being supportive of them? Are you honoring them because they represent Jesus among you? Or in times of frustration, in times of impatience, maybe in times of anger, do you make it difficult for them to serve among you and to feed you and to shepherd you? Are you respecting their authority? Are you making it easy for them to be examples among you? Not examples of perfect men. We've already talked about that. Peter's sinful. Your shepherds are sinful men. But men of example, because we run to Jesus for forgiveness too. Because we are the first to confess our sins as we worship. And we are the first to embrace his forgiveness when we receive Holy Communion or we share absolution with you. How are you doing at taking care of your shepherds? Making it so that they are eager to serve you instead of burdened with another job and another chore. It's not just your pastor shepherds either. It's also those that help them and support them. You think of our teachers at our school. You think of our elected leaders at church, our president, our chairman. You think of our elders, the spiritual care keepers of the congregation. You think of the other board men who serve on your behalf, and our Sunday school staff and our VBS staff. Are we doing a good job at loving and listening to them, respecting the authority that is theirs from God? To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness for Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. And when the chief good shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that never fades away. How are we doing at keeping on the path that leads to glory?
Or do we step off from time to time when we get frustrated or impatient with our shepherds? How are we doing at guiding our shepherds to the crown of glory? Or do we make it hard for them to stay on that path, and at times do we push them away from the path that leads to the crown of glory? If we need forgiveness for anything that we brought into God's house today, if we need forgiveness for the way that we have not listened to or have not loved or have not respected the authority and the words and the message and the people who are our shepherds, Jesus, your good shepherd, has good news for you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God promises he loves his sheep. God promises Jesus died for all of our sins, for all of our failures. And he promises that because he took up his life again, we can be 100% certain that all our sins have been forgiven and that one day we are going to live with Jesus forever in heaven. We are God's forgiven children. You know what I learned about sheep and shepherding getting ready for this sermon? Not a whole lot. But you know what I learned about being your shepherd and you being my sheep and all of us being sheep of the good shepherd? I know that God promises to bless you, his sheep, when you listen to and love your shepherds. I know that God promises to bless us, your shepherds, when you listen to and love us. The Good Shepherd promises to bless us, and he promises that when we listen to and when we love our shepherds, that we are loving him ultimately. And that's an act of worship that never goes away. He promises that when we listen to and love our shepherds, he is going to grow his kingdom through us. And he promises that when we listen to and love our shepherds, we're going to grow closer to him. We're going to grow stronger in our knowledge of him, his word, and his love for us. May God continue to bless us, the good shepherd, as he shepherds you and he shepherds me through the shepherds that he has brought into our lives. Amen. Please stand and join with me in the song of praise that is on page 6 in the service folder. You are God, we praise you. continue to praise our God with our offerings. Please be seated. In our prayers this morning, we remember Keith and Donna Williamson. Their unborn grandson, Derek, passed away this last week. We also ask that God would be with Derek's parents, Tim and Michelle Williamson. We also have been asked to pray for Raleigh Niestertuck, who was hospitalized this last week with kidney issues, and Audra Stritch, as that she would regain her strength and that she would trust in God during this time of transition in her life. And we also have the opportunity to rejoice with God's people today. We rejoice with Janice Riley and Paul Goddard, who were married here at St. Mark's this last week. We rejoice with them. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for glorifying your Son, Jesus, in his resurrection from the dead after he offered himself as priest and sacrifice for all the world. We praise you for transforming the little while of the crucifixion sadness into the joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us lay hold of Christ's promise of eternal life and to receive it in hope. Give us the glorious consolation by a true faith and a living faith. Grant the comfort of your promises to the sick, the sorrowful, the brokenhearted, and the perplexed. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Instill in us patience in each adversity and enable us to receive all of your many blessings in gratitude and with contentment. Dear Lord God, our Father, dear Jesus, the great compassionate shepherd of your sheep, your ways are often hidden, unsearchable, and beyond our understanding. For reasons we cannot comprehend and probably never will, you have turned the joyful hopes of Tim and Michelle Williamson and Keith and Donna Williamson into sadness. We know, dear Lord, that your ways are loving and wise. But too often we are confused and fearful. Help those who have now experienced sorrow to bow humbly before your will. Comfort them with your life-giving promise that in all things you are working for their good. Please, dear Good Shepherd, work hard to bring comfort to Derek's family. And dear Heavenly Father, we also commit our brother Raleigh Niestertruck to your care. We ask that if it is your will that you would relieve his distress, we ask that at this time you would strengthen his faith and grant him a recovery that is according to your will. We also ask that you be with Elaine as she stands behind, as she stands at Raleigh's side during this difficult time. Heavenly Father, we also ask that you would restore our sister in the faith, Audra Stritch, that you would restore her strength. We ask that you also would increase her trust in your promises, not only as you did during her recent stay in Escaton, but also as she moves to a more permanent housing situation. We ask that you remind her that you are with her always, that her brothers and sisters here at St. Mark's have not forgotten about her, but are praying for her. We ask that you also would bless her husband, Hal, who also stands beside his wife, Audris, during this time of transition. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice today along with Janice and Paul. We ask that you would bless their marriage with self-sacrificing love and steadfast commitment. We ask that you would draw them closer to each other day by day as you draw them closer to yourself. And finally, as our eternal dwelling place is with you, O Father, grant us who are but strangers and pilgrims on earth such a measure of your power and grace that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the victor's crown of life. These things we ask in the glorious hope of an eternal day with you, trusting in your Son, our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Worship continues with a celebration of Psalm 23, that is hymn 766. That hymn is in the blue hymn book, number 766. Worship continues on page 8 in the service booklet with the song, Lord Have Mercy. Please stand.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
The sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
We close with hymn 436.
Thank you.
It's good to be in God's house with you this morning as we have the opportunity to be reminded of the blessings that we have as sheep of the Good Shepherd. If you're a guest or a visitor with us today, we warmly welcome you to St. Mark's. We're very grateful for the opportunity to have shared Jesus' love with you. One of our pastors, either Pastor Stray or Pastor Schmidt, would be happy to connect with you after the service and share more about St. Mark's with you. If you're interested, please don't hesitate to connect with one of them. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. The next two out of the three next Sundays, the morning Bible class pattern is going to be adjusted. Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday at St. Mark's. So that adult Bible class hour will be the examination of our confirmands. Please be encouraged to attend, both in support of them making that important public profession of their faith, and also as an opportunity to review the fundamental Christian truths. It'll be a blessing for everybody who attends. So next Sunday, morning Bible class, confirmation examination, and then a couple Sundays after that, we're going to be having a special open forum. That's Sunday, May 17th, to discuss our congregation's ministry opportunities going forward, and an important part of that relates to the financial circumstances at St. Mark's. So please plan to attend that meeting. It's going to be an important opportunity to become educated of what's going on at St. Mark's and also contribute to the discussion of how we can best move forward carrying out the Lord's work. A couple announcements related to our 50th anniversary celebration. First of all, we're beginning to plan the meal that's going to be a part of the celebration on Sunday, June 14th. That's the day where we're going to have Pastor Tackmeyer here preaching, our district president John Buchholz preaching at a special service in the afternoon, and a big fellowship meal where we get to come together and thank God for the blessings of 50 years at St. Mark's. Please help us plan for that meal by signing up, indicating how many people from your family plan to attend and what you can contribute to the potluck meal. Behind the wall in the back, there's a sign-up sheet. Please take a look at that this morning and indicate your plans to attend that meal. We have a special opportunity to worship, celebrating the Ascension of our Lord. That's coming up on Thursday, May 14th. This year's Ascension service will take place at Hope Lutheran in Penryn at 7 o'clock in the evening. It's an opportunity for us to get together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the Sacramento area. Again, Ascension on May 14th. At Hope in Penryn. I have a couple things to share with you related to our school. This past Friday, we participated in the Northern California Lutheran Track Meet. More than 100 athletes from Northern California come together for a great day of track and field at American River College. A neat thing about this track meet is that all of our students in grades 4 through 8 participate, and it's a neat opportunity to learn about teamwork. All of them participating in their various events, all contributing points to the team score, which this year, for the second year in a row, helped us win this nice trophy. The most important thing about this trophy, though, is that it's a cup, and inside that cup lives this fuzzy little lion, and he's happy that he has a home in our trophy case for another year. A number of students who participated to this victory are here in the church this morning, if we wouldn't mind giving them a round of applause. And then two more invitations I'd like to share on behalf of our school. Two Fridays from now, May 8th, we'll be having our annual spring music recital, a combination of piano, instrumentation, and a little bit of voice singing. It's an opportunity to support our students in the development of their God-given talents. So that'll take place here at 7 o'clock right in the church. And again, that's May 8th, Friday, May 8th. And then the following Friday, it's our spring performance. Our students in grades 5 through 8 will be performing Beauty and the Beast, which is a significant undertaking. They're working hard at it, and they're looking forward to having a big audience that evening to entertain with that show. So that's May 15th, and there's one show in the morning at 10 o'clock if you can't make the evening show, and then again in the evening at 7 o'clock. The last thing I'll leave you with this morning is, on your way out, please grab that announcement flyer. It'll keep you up to speed with everything going on at St. Mark's. As you leave this morning, please greet one another. May God bless your week.